Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Monday. Appreciate Tim Corbin for joining us. Say hello now to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hut, what's up?
Guys, hope everyone is doing well on air and off over at 102.5. Congrats on the recent success. If everyone's listening across the building, Chase, hope you're feeling better.
Appreciate it. Yes, things going well, and I am recovering and powering through, and that's what we have to do. So I know the Titans, I'm seeing all the media members post right now that they've unveiled their Titans house, which is basically a place to kind of show off the new stadium, and seeing some dates out there, February 2027 is when they're eyeing the completion of the new stadium. And Hutton, I think you know this, but WrestleMania happens March or April. That could open the door.
I think that has been in discussion, Chase. And while I certainly haven't had it told to me that direct, there are certain events that tend to open stadiums. And WWE traditionally wants to be the first event in the stadium. I think Dallas was one of those.
Yep.
And if it wasn't, WWE number one, it was like a rodeo or a George Strait concert. It was one of those three. They will want to open the stadium. And keep in mind, there are certain events that will come to the stadium, concerts and all this, because of the stadium indoors, right? I would expect the Super Bowl, which Nashville's going to get one,
yep,
the Super Bowl to be in Nashville when everything outside of the stadium surrounding, in terms of the big picture of what that side of the river is going to look like, when that is complete or 95% done, because of the aerial shots and the way that the city wants to face the stadium and vice versa. I think they want all of that complete before we're looking at the big game. And I think that's somewhere around 2031, 32, if I had to put a date on that. Just spitballing there. But yeah, I've tossed around some ideas to some people that would know. And I think those are kind of the date. So you're spot on with WrestleMania.
Yeah, and look, I think they're gonna get a Final Four, a college football playoff.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things are gonna be in that new stadium when it's all said and done.
Sure. Yeah, hey. Also mentioned, throw out there the NCAA tournament. I mean, there are at a college football playoff. There are many things that can be by 2027 that can be in the mix here around that time of year.
Obviously, that's a long way off. And so the focus is now on the football team that's going to hit the field this fall at the current Nissan Stadium. And since we've talked with, they've had the draft, they've signed Tyler Boyd. You look at this wide receiver room. Is this one of the best on paper in memory if everything, you know, does happen to work out the way it's supposed to?
Yes. I mean, I was talking with D. Mace last week or the week prior, Chase, and I said, hey, the only trio that comes to mind for me, and Big Joe certainly would be able to spitball maybe another three-pack here, but to me it's Derek Mason, Drew Bennett, and Justin McCarron's.
Yeah.
Those are the three that come to mind. And I said, I was talking with Steve Lehman and John Burton on News Channel 5. I said, hey, I'd go with Drew Bennett, Derek Mason, and Frank Wycheck if I'm able to put Wycheck in for McCarron's. But if we're just talking three pack of wide receivers, give me this one on paper. And that's the way we're discussing this question. We need to see the results, but I mean, all three combined have results that speak for themselves in the league.
God, thank God Derek Mason's in that list. Otherwise, you know, it's terrible. That's not a great list that you could think, like, look at that receiver room. That's just terrible, Jonathan.
Yeah, I mean, no one's thinking Drew Bennett is an NFL great, but he was great here based on the expectation of a passing game. And what I think on paper too, Joe, expectations are even higher because of the type of offense we're finally going to see here. That trio is in a run-based offense. Every wide receiver that's been through the doors of St. Thomas Sports Park, run-based offense. The face of the offense is in the backfield. And as much as they want to invest in quarterback, the face of the offense has been Derrick Henry. Prior to that, Eddie George, and then everyone in between. Chris Johnson needs to be mentioned. It's been in the backfield. Callahan comes in and immediately starts talking about the passing game. First answer about his offense. This is a totally different outlook, and I view this wide receiving core even more ahead of the pack than it already was, just based on the way they're going to operate.
Well, yeah, not only that, but, you know, what did you make the comments, Jonathan, that Callahan came out and talked glowingly about Will Levis? I loved it because it's kind of like, all right, we're going to ride Will Levis whether you like it or not. We're going to see what he's got. And Callahan basically said, he's got what I need to take this football team to the next level.
He's got a rocket arm. He has the ability to push the ball down the field, sideline to sideline. What he needs is an offensive line to protect him. He should have a much better opportunity at that, much, much better. And I think in front of him, he's got, you know, an opportunity to really gel with offensive linemen that have been there and done that. One of the guys is the new Ben Jones of the team in Cushenberry.
Yeah, I love it.
Which they desperately needed because Ben Jones is calling a lot at the line of scrimmage. Cushenberry, based on the way he played in Denver and what he's paid to do here and the accolades, and he's young. I mean, they're going to be together for a while if things work out. And if I'm looking around right now and thinking young quarterbacks, ability to throw the football, and you have the players that they put around that young player, I mean, I'd be excited too if I'm Callahan. And Levis has put in the work. I think it's been pretty obvious that, you know, because we haven't heard anything else, that from day one, he's been locked in to trying to learn this offense. And I want to point this out too. I think Tyler Boyd is going to be massive in the retention for Levis because he's played in this offense. He's played in this passing game. And as much as Boyd is going to help the wide receivers pick up the routes and the concepts, you better believe, as far as player on the field, that guy is going to be a massive benefit to the quarterback in year two.
Oh, I totally agree. Let me ask you this, Jonathan. We've been around football now for 15, you and I and Chase, 20 years, longer than that. We've seen football evolve. Will Levis in this group, and Callahan too, Jonathan, these are the guys that grew up in the 7-on-7 summer league kind of thing, you know? So these guys now all want the football. I don't think we're going to go back for a while to like run. I think now the game of football is geared to throwing the football because these summer 7-on-7 leagues, these guys love it. They show up. They want the ball, the passing and everything. I think it's been vital and instrumental of where football, including the NFL, is headed now. And I think this Titans team of 2024 is an example of that. These guys throw the football. It all started going back to the 7-on-7s.
Man, yes, absolutely. The Olympics are going to have flag football. And let me be real with two aspects here about the league leaning into that. Number one, in no particular order. Well, actually, there is an order. It's number two. But number one, offenses are it's a carrot dangling in front of them to pass more because you can get free first downs off of this with defensive pass interference. You don't get many of those in the run game. That's number one. And you also get fewer concussions. I think that's a factor too, as much as they protect the quarterback and the rules stacked against the defense. That's always going to be at the forefront of what the NFL rules and handbook is all about, reducing head injuries. And we're seeing less and less of the running back value. I don't think that's by coincidence. You're going to grow up now playing 7-on-7, as you've mentioned, Joe. You're not going to want to be a running back anymore. You're not going to want to be Barry Sanders or Emmitt Smith.
Right.
You're going to want to be the guys on the outside or the quarterback. Everyone wants to be the quarterback. That's still the case. But, I mean, you're going to want to be a tight end more than a running back. That was never discussed when I was playing high school sports.
Yeah, right.
I didn't want to be tight end. I want to be wide receiver or running back. I don't hear too many people clamoring to be the Derrick Henry in the backfield. You want to be Derrick Henry playing on defense, rushing the passer, because that's where the money is. Yep. And I tend to think that's not by just coincidence that we see rules changes and the monetary value going down. Again, this is me just trying to think as the business of football. That plays a factor in everything, too.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And with all that said, this is where I was going to go. I'm still excited to see what Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears are going to look like in this offense. I mean, you know, yeah, they're going to run it some, but they're going to be a part of this passing game.
No doubt. And they can go with a 20 personnel, 21. They can have a spot where they're essentially two extra receivers, as you're mentioning, but you have the different personnel packages that don't necessarily have to include the tight end. They don't necessarily have to include the 11 personnel, three wide receivers. That to me is a part of the intriguing aspect of what we can see, and such a complete 180 from last year's offense to this year's offense is less predictability. I think with both running backs, what they're getting is three down backs when they're in the game. It's not going to be something where it's, we know this is a run or this is a pass. It's not going to be a first down run. It can be, but it's not going to be automatic. And that's, if anyone that's listening can point that out, you better believe the best defensive coordinators in the league know that. And it's refreshing to at least believe that we're not going to see, you know, third and four or less. And if the running back's in the game, it's not Derrick Henry, it's going to be a pass. And if Henry's in the game, it's going to be a run. No disrespect to Henry. He got a lot of those picked up. And he's my favorite player to cover coming through here just based on his dominance and the sheer incredible aspect of that, what he was just as a human being. He's a WWE superstar, Chase, to go back to your first point. This is more of the 2024 version. This is what Amy Adams Strunk was alluding to when she said the new age.
Yep, 100%. Hutt, appreciate it as always. Good to catch up with you, and we'll do it again soon.
Yep, and just you mentioned the Titans house. If this is anything like the Rams, you should be able to go to this place and select your seat that you're looking for, and you will have a virtual reality aspect to your seat. From what it would look like for a concert setup to
that's cool
game day. To me, that's exactly what this is. Otherwise, it's hard to sell a stadium you can't see. This will be pretty cool to go check out, I think.
Yeah, and all the seats are going to be padded from what I understand. So that'll be good as well.
Oh, yes. The padded seats to help you pay a lot more money, the suit money. Joe, be asking Chase for raises soon.
Right.
Yep. No doubt. Hutt, appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Appreciate you too, brother.
Jonathan Hutton from OutKick joining us. We'll come back. We'll tell you what day it is. And also, celebrity birthdays, our favorite. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.